Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today we're going to be talking about how to get your antiques and collectibles appraised. Shirley Bauman will be our guest, and she'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. But first, I want to talk about our spring member drive. The largest source of our funding for all of our shows is from listeners just like you. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take this important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And here to help me along, Kate Archer Kent.
Hello, Larry. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. And we kind of have a special matching gift going on today.
We do. Today is the start of this special two-day-long public media Giving Days movement. It's a time to recognize the importance of nonprofit information and inspiration in our community. So to celebrate, a group of generous members will match all donations up to $60,000.
It's their way of encouraging you to join the Public Media Giving Days movement by supporting the programs that you and the entire state of Wisconsin rely on. So you can double your impact right now. Great opportunity at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio for Larry, also in part because we're commercial free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, business sponsors, super important. And there's another source that's very important, too.
It's the largest piece of our funding for WPR programs, and it comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of how things work around here. And when you give, you keep quality, independent programs, news, talk, information, the Larry Mueller Show, the morning show, all these great programs. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
WPR is probably on in your car, maybe your home and your car and elsewhere in your life. I mean, you listen to WPR a lot. So help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Make that switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Nurturing a sense of community. That's something public media does every day. And Public Media Giving Days are a reminder to support this station, a nonprofit that helps your community stay informed and connected. You are the public in public media and play a critical role in making sure it's available to all free of charge. We can't do it without you, so please donate today and thank you.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our spring member drive. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. The programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. And your contribution might be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
Yes, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now in this moment is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time, and your contribution will be matched dollar for dollar. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our Public Media Giving Days challenge is in effect. It is underway. It is just going like, just crazy. It's going so well. Celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support at WPR goes twice as far.
And you can ask for that WPR glass tumbler when you make a gift of $12 a month or more in support of WPR programs. Kate, I finally went online and looked at it.
Did you see it? Yeah.
It's a nice glass.
Yeah.
It looks pretty nice.
Styling.
I'm going to get one of those.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Ask for yours at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, we heard from Mary in Middleton who says, thank you, Larry, for the excellent guests and the excellent topics.
Oh, Mary, thank you so much. What about you right now? Your gift's so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thanks very much. If you've already given, if you haven't, do it right now. Double your gift amount during our drive. Well, here we are to talk with you about antiques and collectibles. Do you have some that you're kind of interested in, wondering about what their value might be? Shirley Bauman, our guest, she's a certified personal property appraiser. She owns Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along with her today. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Shirley Bauman, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
I understand you get calls all the time asking for authentication instead of appraisal. And maybe it's worth it to talk about what an antique appraiser actually does do.
Right. And you are correct. I do get those calls regularly. People say, I want to know if it's real. Well, that's authentication. And appraisal is putting a value on something. Authentication is telling someone if it's real or not. The people who usually do authentication are either those who are known experts in a particular field, and very often they're academics, people who have studied this at the graduate school level, a particular era of artists or, mm-hmm. or maybe even an individual. An authenticator says, if this, or an appraiser says, if this is real, this is what it's worth. And generally speaking, they're different people. Not always. Sometimes there's appraisers who specialize in a certain artist or maker and can do that. Let's say Tiffany lamps, something of that nature. But even those get faked, believe me. I've seen them. And so it's a whole different discipline.
Yeah. And, well, now you're an appraiser. You've been doing this a long time. You and I have been talking on the air for I don't even know how long. It's been years.
Many years. I think about a dozen.
At least a dozen. So what kind of training does it take to be an appraiser?
Well, there are a number of ways to do it, but I'll tell you the way most of us do and the way I did. I went to one of the known appraisal associations. And for mine, it was the International Society of Appraisers. And that's the only one of the major appraisal associations that deals only with personal property, not real estate also. So I went to their class, and the first thing I had to do was take what they called the core courses. And that is where you go for, I don't know, about a week to 10 days, and you learn about everything regarding the appraisal process, the writing a report, the laws, the ethics, the, you know, what you do as an appraiser, how to do it, how to do research. Then you go and you take your specialty courses. And my specialty course, the first one I took was called Antiques and Residential Contents. And they've changed the name of that a little bit, but that's about what it is. You learn for that next week or more about antiques by each, you know, major category of antiques. So you spend the whole week. And when you do these, you not only learn all day, you study at night because at the end there's a major examination. So you have to pass the exam. And so then I also took later the appraisal of fine art specialty course. And all of those have an exam at the end. And then for every 5 years, I've had to requalify. During those 5 years, I had to take a certain amount of continuing education. And I had to do a certain number of professional appraisals and keep track of that. And then I had to go and take a class and an exam again.
So
that happens every 5 years.
Yeah, so pretty extensive training to become an appraiser. And then, of course, you learn as you go along, too. I mean,
absolutely, absolutely. And there is one more thing that we do as professional appraisers for the most part. And I say that because there are several ways to accomplish this, but I do it through taking the course that's called in the trade USPAP, Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice course. It's, you know, again, another 5-day course that you take the first time, and then every 2 years it gets updated with a 2-day course. And the Appraisal Foundation is authorized by Congress, and they set the standards for appraisal. So if an appraiser does an appraisal for somebody who donated something and wants to take a tax deduction, their report needs to be written according to the current, which updates every 2 years, the current standards of USPAP. So that's more studying we have to do.
Lots of studying going on there. And there's I'll tell you what, there's lots of people online who have questions for you as well. And maybe we should take a call. Peter in Phillips has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
My family has this metal object. It was done by a Remington exhibition shooter back in the 40s or maybe 30s. And my family had a small town hardware store, sporting goods store, and they're a Remington dealer. And Bill Johnson, who was an exhibition shooter for Remington, came by. And one of the exhibits he did is there was a piece of sheet metal covered with paper with little dots on it. And as he shot out each of the dots with his rifle, then when the paper was removed, there was an image of Uncle Sam.
No.
I'm just wondering if that is very unusual or anything like that, if it has any value.
Well, I think it is a little bit unusual, Peter, because I've never seen one. And it probably is. The thing about something like that is the authentication, just what we were talking about a little bit ago. Because family lore or somebody told you that, it was done that way. The thing with provenance is that you have to prove it. And that might be through receipts from galleries, through photographs of what was going on. Oftentimes, people who get a celebrity autographing something for them nowadays get a photograph taken while that signature is happening, so they see them with the celebrity signing it. And I know it's hard to get that, but without the authentication, it's a pretty hard thing to know for sure. And that's the provenance of that, the fact that it was from the Remington sharpshooter there is what's really important about that. Offhand, I can't tell you a value. Like I said, I've never seen that. But that's what you want to do, is find out first how to go about it. And
go from there. Maybe even if you know the date that he was there, probably the local newspaper may have run a story with a picture, possibly a picture of him holding it, Bill Johnson. And that would be helpful, wouldn't it, Shirley?
Yes, it would be. And so, you know, anything you can collect that helps put things into the right perspective. You know, somebody told me a while ago that I was working with a story about that this item that they had belonged to so-and-so, who was a famous person in history and a governor of the state, and yet the item was dated from a totally different period than that person lived. So that made it impossible for their story to be true. So what you want to do is eliminate all those impossibilities and get to the, you know, to get to as much as you can to substantiate it.
There you go, Peter. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to substantiate that this is our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. Kate Archer Kent snuck back into the studio. Here she is.
I love that segue. I love it.
Tell you what, you rely on the Ideas Network for great discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
Indeed. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make a gift right now during our public media giving days. Your support will go twice as far for WPR's essential service. All gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a generous group of current members.
This challenge is their way to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on. So let's meet this challenge. Your gift of any amount right now, it makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every member drive, listeners from all over the country, even the world, reach out to support WPR. People from Texas, Alaska, Japan, Germany, we've had calls from New Zealand.
All points. Oh, wow.
They tell us they found something special here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes WPR what it is, and that is a resource that you enjoy and one that people treasure around the state, around the country, and around the world.
Make your donation even easier. You can do that when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you, let's say 10 or 20 bucks a month, and have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. So start your ongoing monthly gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's really a powerful, and it's an easy way to support the WPR programs you love.
This member drive, add to your drinkware collection when you ask for the WPR glass tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more.
I love making craft cocktails at home, and now I have the perfect glassware addition for serving old fashions and Manhattans.
I feel bougie when I pour my friends a drink in this fancy WPR glass. Now I can get rid of all the plastic.
It's so multifaceted, you can use it for many things. To drink a beverage out of, obviously. As a caddy for any kind of writing instrument that will fit within this glass. And most writing instruments will fit within this glass, I can assure you of that.
This tumbler shows my love of radio. It's got white sound waves going all around the glass.
I can't wait to sip a cocktail on the deck with warmer weather in this really awesome glass.
Whether it's your morning iced coffee or a relaxing nightcap, the elegant WPR tumbler is sure to become your go-to way to enjoy a beverage. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Our spring member drive going on. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. You know, I'm thinking 50 years from now, one of those tumblers could be worth a lot of money. You could get one of those tumblers and then pass it on to the next generation.
And then call into whatever talk show will be airing at that time. We're gone, Larry.
Oh, man. I tell you what. Here we are. Listener support's the biggest source of our funding. So your gift, very important. It could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose has an important impact.
And it's Public Media Giving Day over the next 2 days. Join the nationwide movement to recognize the importance of nonprofit public media. All gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a generous group of members.
And where are we on this? We're at, we got about $41,000 or so left to go. So there's plenty of room for you if you've been wondering and worrying about, my gift's not going to be doubled. It will be doubled unless you choose to go to $50,000 or something like that.
Donate any amount right now, whatever amount it is, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it brings me to, you might be wondering, how much should I give? And that is really up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into programs that keep you informed, programs that keep you entertained all year long.
And here we have Denise in Stevens Point, who says, I love WPR. I wanted to do my part so that you may continue providing excellent programming. Wasn't that nice?
I love it. Your gift is powerful. It really helps. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
Taking a look at antiques and collectibles on the program today. Larry Mueller here, my guest, Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser. She owns Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. And Shirley, we have John in Delavan with a question. Let's go there. Hi, John.
Good morning, Larry and Shirley. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah. Over the years, my wife and I have collected an awful lot of graniteware and blue, both blue and gray, and we're looking at possibly trying to sell it somewhere down the line. But we're trying to get an idea what the value of that is compared to in the 80s and 90s compared to now. I think it's dropped down probably somewhat.
Has it, Shirley?
Yes. Yeah, sorry to say it has. And interestingly, graniteware in general has lower prices here in the upper Midwest because we found those at every farm. And when if you go to the coasts and the big cities, they weren't as plentiful there because they were used every day here and not as much there. But the key to value is an unusual shape, a very good quality enamelware, no chips or dents, that kind of thing, good color. The blues and reds, the bright colors are more sought after than just the white ones. They're still collected, but like you said, sadly not paying as much or worth the value as much. Where to sell them, I would find a good auction that handles that kind of thing.
And when you talk about unusual shape, what, something?
Well, something other than a coffee pot or a bowl.
Okay.
You know, you might be talking about some interesting teapots that were French maybe and had the handle on the, not on opposite the spout, but on the, like a quarter of the way around from the spout. And maybe, you know, not in a standard coffee pot shape, something with more curvature to it than just a straight up and down kind of thing.
All right. John, there you go. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Barbara in Madison will go to you next. Hi, Barbara.
Well, good morning, Larry. I hope your member drive goes really well. I'm a longtime listener and an annual donor.
Thank you.
my question for Shirley is about collector plates. I got suckered into being an avid collector in the 70s and 80s, and I have a curated collection from Bradford and from Danbury Mint. And then my husband bought a whole series of Christmas plates for me as Christmas presents from Beruther, which is a German company that's quite a bit different than the usual. And I'm wondering, I know I got sold on this business about the gift, the Bradford Exchange was going to be a wonderful way to resell your plates in the future. And they were going to grow in great value, and that I know that that's not true anymore. Are they even worth what I paid for them?
Well, you know, I see this a lot and have over the years. Unfortunately, they are not worth what you paid for them. When we resell them at an antique store, antique auction or an estate sale, they usually go, honestly, I have to say this, they usually go between $2 and $5.
Ooh.
The highest price I've ever gotten for one when I used to do auctions, I don't do them anymore. The highest price I ever got for one was $25, and that was a plate of Marilyn Monroe. And there were two Marilyn Monroe collectors after it. So unfortunately, they didn't go into increase in value, and that happens with a lot of modern collectibles because there are too many. And people are told they're going to be collectibles, so everybody holds on to them. So there remains many of them. what really drives up values on antiques and collectibles is when people don't think they're going to be worth much, people don't hold on to them, so the ones that do remain become more rare and therefore valuable. Now, when I've seen these in estates and, you know, children will have me, adult children, and will bring me in for their parents' estate, and they'll complain, well, Mom spent so much money on all these old plates, just look at them all hanging here, they're worth nothing, and she spent so much money. And I ask them, well, do you have a hobby? This was her hobby. She must have enjoyed them. She hung them on her wall and is looking at them like they're a piece of art. You know, she could have gone to the casino and spent that money. Instead, she collected plates. You know, it kind of puts it in perspective. If you enjoyed finding them and enjoy looking at them, you know, you've got something there anyway.
There you go, Barbara. Thank you very much for your call. Mary in Pewaukee has different items here. Let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Yes, good morning. My husband, Rudy, and I are both sustaining members, and good luck with that drive. And we have three boxes of albums, vinyl, in pretty good condition, some excellent. And the two are rock and classic rock, and the other is classical from maybe the 50s, 60s, and maybe 70s of a complete variety of different classical artists and orchestras and bands. So I just wondered, where's the best place to get the best buck for that without having to list all of them separately somewhere? And what you can tell us about that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Well, vinyl's coming back, and there are, always have been and continue to be collectors of them. And condition is very important with vinyl records. So those that aren't in such good condition are not going to bring as much money as those that are. And those that really bring big money are those that are still sealed in the package and have never been played. They're pretty hard to find, as you can imagine. People bought them to play them. The ones that do bring a lot of value are the classic rock. Beatles album that are still sealed and that were their hits and the first printings of those particular records will bring, you know, hundreds of dollars and up. If you've got a really good collection, the classics, the classical music, while beautiful, doesn't bring as much. Collectors aren't after them as much as the classic rock, especially bands that made it big and are no longer producing music, like the Beatles and so many of others of those others of that era. Heritage Auctions service out of Dallas might be a good place to take a look. You want to look for a place that sells Americana. And depending on the titles and the quantity you have, they might be interested. The other thing about record albums is it's not just the title. It's who made the record. It might be, you know, that a couple of different companies made the same record for different groups or individuals, and one did it first, and then the other one bought the rights later. So it's who did it, and a lot of things go into that. It's a much more complex area than you would imagine.
That's really interesting. Mary, good luck with that. Appreciate it very much. Jack in Madison, on to you now.
Good morning, Larry.
Hi, Jack.
Thanks. Hey, so thinking about my dad's comic book collection, he and his brothers were big collectors back in the 70s and 80s and beyond, and they've just compiled a lot over the years, especially Marvel, some Star Wars comics, some anime and other things. And I think I recall hearing the two categories here. It's like appraisal, which is the value of an object, versus is the authentication process. And I guess kind of thinking about appraisal and like how would one go about appraising their comic collection to see how much money they could get out of it, especially for like 20 to 30 years of collecting and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you've hit on a big popular area of collecting. Comic books have seen a resurgence, especially now since the proliferation of all of the movies, the superhero movies. And so all of the comic books have seen an increase in interest. The way to go about that is, you know, you mentioned some of the dates, and I think you're talking about the periods from the 70s to the mid-80s, which is called the Bronze Age of collecting. They start with the Golden Age in 1938, and then the Silver Age and the Bronze Age. After 1985, those items have lesser value because it caught on so much that people were keeping them and collecting, and so the manufacturers made so many more. And just like those collector plates we were talking about, the market got flooded, so they aren't worth as much. The more rare they are, the better. The other thing about comics is they need to be in really good condition. Unless you're talking about some of those from the 30s and, you know, 40s, they might overlook some condition issues. But a lot of collectors will actually buy two issues of each comic book that they want to collect and put one immediately in a plastic sleeve and look at the other one. Condition is very important, and grading comic books is important. And there are grading services. There are two really known ones. One is, CGC grading service, and one is called CBCS. And so you want to get the highest grade for them. So you would, you know, there's lots of things. There's a couple ways you yourself can do some looking. Heritage Auctions has an archive of comic book values that they've sold. And you can search their archives, and you'll want to be able to put in the name, the issue number, the dates, and all of that information in it. And then the other kind of holy grail for looking at comic books is called the Overstreet Comic Book Value Guide. And that comes out every year. It's a book, and you can get it online or in print. And they're at the 52nd issue, so they've kind of become the industry standard. And Overstreet can give you a good idea of what your items are worth.
There you go, Jack. Appreciate your call very much. Well, speaking about what something's worth, here we are in our spring member drive. Kate Archer Kent just came flying in to the studio to say, hey, wait, we've got to talk. I'll tell you what, your support, it's a great piece of, essential piece of funding for all our shows. And in fact, listener support's our largest source of funding. Well, this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we've been doing pretty well here.
We're trucking along. And it's a special day. It's Public Media Giving Day. So over the next couple days, join this nationwide movement to recognize the importance of nonprofit public media. So important. And all gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled thanks to a generous group of members.
And some good news here. We're already at $41,000 left, so we've moved the needle pretty well, Kate. But I tell you what, your gift counts a lot as we go through this program, and I hope you'll donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What an absolute treat, Larry, to hear from a certified personal property appraiser and be able to allow listeners to connect with an expert, you know, at the top of their field, getting advice, getting tips here on the Ideas Network. I mean, this is a signature aspect of the work that we're able to do on this network. So it means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes, make your gift.
And maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day, it's a great value, less than a cup of coffee or a soda. Or certainly a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day. It comes out to $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. Make your gift now in the amount that's right for you. Get it matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Eve Robillard. I've been a sustaining member for a long, long, long time, at least 30 years. I grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and I can remember in 1955, I was in eighth grade, and there was a program from Wisconsin School of the Air that our teacher would nicely put on, and it was called Let's Write.
The recorded Wisconsin School of the Air feature Let's Write. Here's Marie Applegate.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is Cat Day. Well, you might say today that cats are our purr-puss. You'll pardon the pun, won't you?
And I got to write a few poems or something. And I still do that once in a while today.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Your support during our drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
It's perfect. Support the programs you love right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then take another great step. Check with your company's community relations team to see if they'll match your gift.
Many corporations will match their employees' donations, even if the employees are retired. So thank you for giving that extra step for the programs you care about after you've made your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, our Public Media Giving Days Challenge is underway. It's in effect. Celebrate independent public media when you give now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR goes twice as far.
Lisa in Superior says, WPR was something I took for granted until I traveled outside the state recently. I realized how lucky we have it in Wisconsin. And Lisa wanted to do more to help.
I love that. Lisa, thank you so much for your support. Your gift right now matters. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
We're taking a look at antiques and appraisals on the show today. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser. She owns Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. Been with us for a long, long time. It's always great to have her come by. Connie in Portage has a question for you, Shirley. Let's go to Connie. Hi, Connie.
Hi, good morning. I have about an 8x10 sampler, and it has a Lindsay Woolsey background and black thread. And it was made in 1800 by a little girl. And the family history was on the back of it when I bought it. And I wondered, they used to be fairly, you know, high priced. What are they now?
Well, like many things, they're not quite what they used to be. But there are things that make one more valuable than the other. Of course, it's the quality of how it's done. The variety of images that might be on it. If it's just, you know, the numbers 1, 2, 3 and ABCs, it's not as valuable as if it also has maybe buildings and animals and human figures in there. And again, of quality without stains and mistakes in there. Now, you say it's done in 1800. I think you mean not the 1800s, but the year 1800, which makes it good because the ones that are most valuable are really in that 1800 and earlier. I have a colleague, an appraisal colleague, who brokered a sale for one of her clients of one that was done in the 1700s. And this, of course, was in San Francisco on the West Coast, where prices are different than they are here. But that particular sampler, which was probably 15 years ago, sold for over $100,000. Now, knowing who the artist is, knowing where they did the work, having the real quality of many images, different kinds of things on it, brings up the value. So they're not what they were, but again, it's not just one subject. It depends on a lot of different variables.
And I'm something like that, is there some certain site that she, Connie, might go to?
Well, if it's American, again, the Heritage Auction.
Okay.
Is a good place for anything Americana. That's what they specialize in. You might also look on a site called Live Auctioneers that sometimes that does have a section of price results. You know, look at some of the auction house results.
Good luck, Connie. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Dave in Middleton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, taking the call. So I, a number of years ago, inherited some pretty old books from my grandmother when she passed away. These are, you know, 100 years plus years old. And my plan was to keep them forever, but I'm realizing my house with the moisture in the house is just not amenable to that. It's a bad idea. So I don't know what to do with them. So how do I, what do I do with them? How do I unload these books in a kind of safe way? We could donate them maybe to libraries or get them appraised at an auction house. I don't know.
Well, there's, again, like everything else, there's a lot of variables about books, and just because they're old doesn't make them valuable. The most valuable ones are first editions of books by famous authors or famous titles. So that is, it's important to look and find out who published it, what's the date, is it the first publishing of it, which state of the first publishing. And there's a couple other things. If you find a few books that you really want to keep, you might be able to get some archival boxes that you can keep them in, which would keep them in better condition than just out in the open in your home. So there's a way to preserve them a little better that way. Libraries do take donations if they are special books. I know I've appraised a collection that was donated to the University of Wisconsin Archives at one time. So there are different places. Sometimes historical societies take them. It all depends on the subject and the author. And, historical societies sometimes do. And before you just plan to donate them, contact those organizations and tell them what you have and what you're interested in donating. And then when you do donate them to a charitable organization, the 503C, you can get the appraisal done and get the take a tax deduction for that donation.
Hmm. Dave, thank you for calling. Good luck. Joan in Madison, your turn. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. Years and years ago, I bought a collection of McDonald's dolls. They're about maybe 7 inches tall. They're in the box, and there's 6 of them. And they got Ronald McDonald and Hamburglar, and then there's, I can't remember the other names of the other ones that McDonald's used for advertising. Are they worth anything? They're in the boxes still. The boxes are pretty beat up, but they're still in their boxes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I do. I've seen them, but they're not really worth a lot. I just pulled up something as we talked here. I'm at my desk, and a Hamburglar doll and a couple others, the violinist, Mr. Bob, which is one of them, they went for $6. They don't go for a lot of money. McDonald's made some for... Madame Alexander made some, that's a company, made some for McDonald's, but I'm seeing a whole lot of them go for, $45 for maybe, 2 dozen of them. So they're somewhere in the $2 to $6 a piece. Again, they're a modern-made collectible, which usually means they're made by the hundreds of thousands, and therefore they don't hold their value in the short term. Maybe everybody will say, they're only worth a couple dollars. I'm not saving these anymore. And so in, you know, another generation or six, they might become worth something.
There you go, Joan. Thank you for calling. Marilyn in Madison, on to you. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I'm just calling because I was wondering, I'm working on my mom's estate. She passed away in December, and she has five Owen Grammy prints that are framed. So I was just wondering, my understanding is that at one time they were very valuable, but now they're not as valuable. So I was just wondering, like, if I was going to donate them somewhere or divide them up with the beneficiaries of the estate, you know, how I would value that. Or
did he sign them? Are they signed?
Yes. And they have, like, a couple of them have, like, the series in the print, like which number they are in the series.
Mm-hmm. Well, the numbers there in the series, it'll have a number, a slash, and then a number. And that means it's, like, it could be number six. That would be the first number out of the number behind the slash. Maybe it's 250. Maybe it's 1,000. The higher that number, the more were made, and therefore they're worth a little bit less. Now, you are right in saying that they aren't as valuable as they used to be, and that is is true of all wildlife art right now. There's a lot of reasons for it. It's just not as popular nationwide, but also locally. You know, Owen Grammy is a Wisconsin artist, and he was so popular, but he was also very prolific. There were many, many of them made.
Yeah, there were many, many of them made. Marilyn, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And Kate Archer-Kent back with me for our spring member drive as we get to the top of the hour here. Mm-hmm. Your gift makes a big difference. I hope you'll step up now and be counted as a supporter with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And now's the time during public media giving days. Your support goes twice as far for WPR's essential service. All gifts up to $60,000 will be donated thanks to a generous group of current members.
And the challenge really is their way to kind of inspire you to support the programs you and our entire community rely on. So let's meet that challenge. Your gift, any amount, makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So cool to get this inside look at the world of antique appraisals and the appraisal process, how it works, and then just all of the unique objects that callers have in their lives and are curious about. You know, this is enriching. This is interesting. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes, make your gift.
And during this member drive, you can get the soon-to-be collectible WPR glass tumbler, whether it's for your morning orange juice or evening cocktail. It's the glass for you. Oh, man. Make room in your drinkware cabinet. Ask for your WPR glass tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, I think it's an investment in your own brain. I mean, I'm a retired person now, and as you get older, you do realize you need to keep your brain flexible. And even when I was younger, it's good to keep your brain flexible. And investing in public radio, in Wisconsin public radio, really helps me to keep my brain up to date and gives me different ideas and different viewpoints. Wisconsin public radio is my source for a better life.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. The programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support, and your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a big difference.
And it's Public Media Giving Day, so over the course of the next couple days, join this nationwide movement to recognize the importance of nonprofit public media. All gifts up to $60,000 will be doubled, matched, thanks to a generous group of members.
And we've already had $20,000 donated as part of this. That's great. It's good news. But there's still $40,000 left. So your gift right now is really going to help. Donate any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Wisconsin has access to quality news and talk and entertainment because 50,000 people and households choose to support WPR.
We are going to be, we're getting right up to the top of the hour here, and we're going to be going away for a few minutes to take a look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Diane in Madison, I know, has a question about a small painting, and I bet she'll hang with us. And I'm kind of interested to know about the small painting as well. It's kind of fun to talk about these sorts of things, antiques and collectibles on the show. It's one of the things we do here from time to time. What about you? If you haven't given yet, now would be the time to do it. Go to WPR.org. or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. By the way, Trina LaSousa is doing a great job and as engineer, and Clara Neipert, an equally good job as our producer. So I wanted to mention their help and work as well as we visit with Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser. She owns Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. Question for her, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Diane in Madison now. Diane, thank you for calling.
Of course. Hi, I have an old poster. I think you said painting before. And I got it over 40 years ago from the back. It was used as a backing of an old picture. And I love it. And I've had it framed for years, but I could never figure out where it came from or if it had any value.
What is the poster about?
It's two little girls drinking coffee, and they look like they're like 4 and 5 years old, maybe. And they have big bows in their hair, and they have big puffy hairdos. And the name of it is Boers, B-O-U-R apostrophe S, San Marto Blend Coffee.
Hmm. Okay, you have probably have an advertising piece, and it depends on if it's an original or a reprint of that. It sounds like it's really cute, so it's possible that somebody reprinted that somewhere along the line. What you'd want to do is take what you told me the name of the coffee company was and put that in the Google search engine with, you know, information about the picture. Or something else you can do, and this is something a lot of people don't know about, some of you do, but if you go to the Google search engine on top, there's a place where you would write in what you're looking for, and then to the right of that there are three little images, and the one in the middle is a camera, and you click on that, it says search by image. So take a picture, a photograph of that, and drag that image into Google and have it search for you by the image, and it might be able to tell you something that way.
That is a very cool idea. I like that idea. Diane, good luck with that. Thank you so much. Richard in Manitowoc, what's on your mind?
Hi, my mother passed away and left a chair. It's a high-back chair with these spires on the side that have little crowns on the top. and it's very ornate. And on the back of the chair, it says it's made for Harry Brandenburg by his father in 1916. And I just don't know what to do with this chair. I'm moving to a little cabin from a larger home. And the chair's got some sentimental value, but I'm wondering more of what its actual value might be.
Well, it's hard for me to tell you without seeing it what its actual value is, because for many reasons I don't know what the condition is. And, you know, a lot of people will tell me, oh, it's in wonderful condition. And when I see it, I'm going, oh, did you notice it's been repaired here? No, I never saw that. So even though they tell me it is, it might not necessarily be exactly what they thought. I don't know what that chair is. I'm not familiar with Brandenburg. And, you know, for all we know, it could be a person whose father made him a chair. Now, obviously, it sounds like it was made by someone who knew what they're doing to be able to make a quality chair. But I really can't tell you what it's worth. I would, again, start by researching the name and, you know, Harry Brandenburg chair, or take a picture of it and upload it again to Google Lens, like I just mentioned before, in the Google line where there's a little camera up on top. That's how you do that, and see if that will come up with something. And it's probably something that, if it were mine, I'd try and sell through an auction service.
Yeah. Good luck, Richard. Thank you so much. A listener emailed us. They have a Shirley Temple doll and wondering, how do you find an appraiser to give the, you know, an estimate of its worth?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you that Shirley Temple dolls are not as valuable as a lot of people seem to remember they were at one time. The reason is there's an awful lot of people today who don't know who she was. Those of us who used to sit and watch her television show on Sunday nights are getting pretty old. So there are a lot of younger people who don't remember her, so they aren't valuable. You can, you know, look for an appraiser. Depends on where you are. And there are a lot of pieces of information. You can even go out on eBay and get yourself an account on there, which is free, and look up prices there and look up on the advanced search completed sales for Shirley Temple dolls. Search some archives. Ask for the completed sales. You know, anybody can ask $1 million. Doesn't mean that's what they're going to get. So you've got to look for completed sales. And then look, you'll start to see a pattern after you see what they're selling for. That's the best thing, you know. And original clothes also helps to value the doll a little bit more.
I had another email from Linda. She says she inherited hundreds of 2-inch figures that her mother-in-law set up under her Christmas tree. She had city and country figures and objects. I'm assuming they're mostly lead, made of lead. Do people collect these?
Yes, they do actually collect them. There are some... And it all depends on who made them, what their condition of the paint is, and that kind of thing. But people who make those villages out of, you know, Department 56 houses and that kind of thing at Christmas, like those little figurines with them. So I'd look up, you know, metal figures or lead figures, and if it's an ice skater or, you know, whatever you have. And also look on the bottom and the back and magnify it if you can and see if you can find any kind of mark, a name or a motif, a mark of some kind that tells you who made it, because that might also help you determine what the value of the individual items are.
Jim in Boston emailed us. He purchased an interesting jackknife, they call them toad stabbers, at the week-long antique show antiques at Brimfield, Massachusetts, a number of years ago. At the same show, Jim took it to a knife dealer who said it was pre-1750 due to the fact that a parasite had caused the pits in the horn handle had been eradicated prior to 1750. So it's pre-1750 jackknife. Any idea as to a value of that?
I don't. I really don't. You know, your expert there is giving you as much information, more information than I could have on that item that you talked to at Brimfield. I'm just not familiar with them. I would have to do research on that, and my research would be looking that up and using the terms that that expert gave you. Again, you can take a picture of it and try to upload it and use Google Lens to see if that can help identify it. I guess I've never heard that term, the toe stubber.
Toad stabber?
Toad stabber. used with a knife, so I'm really not of much help. Again, manufacturer, date.
A lot
of variables.
A lot of variables there. You know, we've had at least one person, I think there might have been a couple of people that mentioned that they were taking care of the belongings of someone who had passed away. And, you know, you want to sell some of it, but what are the best steps for, you know, determining what might be worth, you know, just probably giving away or whatever?
Sure. Well, you know, the first thing that I recommend people do is start looking around on the internet. Again, what's going on eBay? That's an easy one to look at, you know, Googling the name of some things that you have. And if you are not coming up with anything, and if you have someone, I tell you, one of the things that I do for people that is actually quite popular is they have me come over and we go through what we call a verbal consultation. It's not really a formal appraisal, but they have me in for an hour or more. It's an hour minimum. And we just look at things, and I can tell them pretty quickly if these are things you can donate. You know, they should just don't worry too much about these. These aren't worth much. And these are things, you know, are approximate value. And then if there is something that I say, now this might be special, and I'd recommend more research on this item. So we do that for an hourly fee, and you can maybe find a local appraiser or a lot of auctioneers are trained to do those kind of appraisals as well. And, of course, they might be able then to sell them for you if that's what you want. And you could find an auctioneer in your area probably through using the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association website. And they can usually help you with things like that. So it usually falls into three categories. These are fine to donate. This is things that, you know, might have some value in this, and these are things that are worth taking a closer look at.
Yeah. And if you're a personal representative of an estate,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything that a lawyer might forget to tell you about?
The attorneys often don't think too much about the personal property. They think about the big ticket items, the house, the car, the investments, the financial end of it. But they don't really think of everything that's in the house. One thing that I often tell people is change the locks right away. If you're the personal representative, so you alone have control. There might have been a caregiver somewhere along the line that still has a key, or a neighbor or something that you don't know. Get the locks changed. You're responsible. Be responsible. And then from there on, you know who's going in and out of the house. And then, you know, you want to talk to somebody who can handle what are you going to do? Do you need to value it for estate tax? And there the value has to be $5 million or more. And so we're talking about a very large estate in that respect. And that would include everything. So, you know, it's not just the things that were inside the house, but that would include the entire estate. And then get in a professional, make it an appraiser, an auction company, somebody like that to take a look with you. If you decide what you're going to do with it. Do family members want pieces? Are there pieces that are named in the will that you need to find? Do that first. If it was, you know, the painting by so-and-so is going to, you know, my grandson, find that painting and set it aside. And if you don't know which painting that is, that's when you need to bring in that a professional. And then what are you going to do? If you're going to auction it, if you're going to have a tag sale in the home, you could invite an estate sale company in and look at several options. Have them in and give you a proposal or a bid for what would happen, what would they do. And look for a couple of options before you sign a contract with somebody. You know, it's you really want to be very careful when you have family members, heirs, arguing over things. You want to have a very knowledgeable professional who is at an arm's length, not somebody's cousin, you know, who is an antique dealer. Or sells through the antique mall. You know, you want to be able to do that. And they're categorizing what you have. And I always tell people, don't throw anything out. I mean, if you see bags of actual trash laying around, that's different. But don't start throwing things out. I have people who all the time, I was called in to look at a dining set one time, and that's all they wanted me to look at. It was at their parents' or relatives' estate. And I came in, and the dining set wasn't anything special. But I looked, and I said, what's over there in the corner? She said, oh, that's just all getting thrown out. That's junk. She said, maybe some will go to Goodwill. And I went and looked at it, and they had a tin of buttons there. And one of the buttons was a very valuable button. I have already sold individual buttons for over $350 a single button. So they had no idea. And frequently people call me in and say, well, Grandma always said that was valuable. And I said, well, that's very nice, but the thing over on the other side, that's the valuable thing. So things change over time. Maybe when they bought it, it was the valuable thing that people were after, but it's a market. Things go up and down. So it's a good idea to crawl in a professional.
I'll tell you what, Shirley, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it. Always fun. You know
Thank
a lot.
Thank you for having me.
It's been great. Shirley Bauman is a personal property appraiser, owner of Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services, and she's really good at helping you put a value on your items. And we're hoping that you'll put a value on Wisconsin Public Radio. Kate Archer Kent joins us again. Our goal is to bring you topics like this topic, antiques and collectibles, to you every day. Your support makes this happen because listener support is our largest source of funding. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And today is the start of a special two-day-long public media Giving Days movement. It's a time to recognize the importance of nonprofit information and inspiration in our communities. And to celebrate, a group of generous members will match all donations up to $60,000.
It's their way of encouraging you to join the Public Media Giving Days movement by supporting the programs that you and the entire state of Wisconsin rely on. So you can double your impact right now. Great opportunity at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Just think about all the programs on the Ideas Network that keep you informed and connected every day. You enjoy the Larry Mueller Show, of course. Chapter a Day, On Point, Central Time. Maybe it's Garden Talk that you never miss. Or
The Morning Show.
Oh, sure, The Morning Show. Yeah, I'll throw that in the mix. There are many others you've come to rely on.
Yeah, the Ideas Network's a place to listen and share so we can kind of explore these issues and understand different perspectives as well. I like that part of it. Support the sense of community and connection you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552.
And a toast to WPR with your new tumbler. It's elegant, features a sound wave design. Ask for your tumbler when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about this. When you support WPR, you're supporting the Wisconsin idea, spread the resources of the university across the entire state. And I can tell you that not every state has this idea. Not every state has the high-quality programs you enjoy daily on WPR.
Well, WPR is one of the gems. It is one of the great things about Wisconsin, and it's something to take pride in. So join forces with many other Wisconsinites. Right now, make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you give. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month. It'll be matched. It'll be doubled. And enjoy the excitement of supporting WPR. It starts with your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's so easy. I do it. I tuck myself into it practically every drive. I go and get some, give some more. And I have found that when I go, all I need is my name, contact information, the amount of my gift, and how I'd like to pay.
It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution to WPR. In those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now, it truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, I think once in a while you actually get more than you pay for. And WPR, I believe, is one place where that's true every day. I consider a gift of $2 a day to support the programs you love.
It's hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, those $2 a day, they make a lot of the news, these talk conversations, and music possible. It works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is the time to do it. Give while you're thinking about it. It just takes a couple of minutes to make your contribution to WPR.
Don't put it on the to-do list. Just take care of it now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Larry, just a quick shout out here. Saul in Belleville says, Larry's topics never fail to inform and entertain, and Saul wants to support excellent Wisconsin-focused programming.
Well, I tell you what, we have a lot of fun. I know Kate does with the morning show. I certainly, yeah. And her team, I certainly do with the Larry Mueller show. It's always a lot of fun, and it's heartwarming sometimes to hear the comments that we get from people, and it's certainly heartwarming to have the kind of contributions from you as you talk and bring in your own questions, your own thoughts and ideas. We have a great community of listeners here, and you're part of it. And I hope you'll take a minute now to make your contribution during this drive. Your gift is, it's really powerful, really makes a difference. So I hope you'll go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Kate and I have to go away now.
Yes,
but
we do. Oh, but it's been fun, Larry.
It has been fun. Thank you if you've contributed. If you haven't, do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.